This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Tag, you're it.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks Catch Up Edition. Remastered?
Oh, that's what you mean. I see.
I don't know what we're calling this.
Do you call it tag? Do you call it tag? Do you call it it, or do you call it what?
We used to call it Tiggy. But I think that's a very regional thing.
Yeah, I've heard Tig from someone I went to uni who was from up north. Not heard Tiggy before.
Some of our American friends will be very confused what we're talking about right now. So, for those that aren't aware, I recommend looking up Tom Scott's video on this. There is a classic childhood game where you run around and one person is the person that has to like be the one to tig or tag or it catch the other people that are playing. And in the UK, there is a massive regional difference about what you call this particular game. You can literally work out where someone is from based on what they call it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
However.
How? However, now we have caught up to you, that you're listening to us, you have to hear us catch the rest of it up.
I'm going to say, you might be aware, if you've been listening to us for a while, that we've been off air for a little while.
Yes.
And we missed...
A lot.
A lot.
Basically a lot, yeah. Yeah.
We were sat here just before we started recording, putting together the list, and I'm just like, oh, we missed this. Oh, shit, we missed it. Oh, fuck, we missed this. But before we get into that, you said you wanted to start with Sports Ball Corner, so off you go.
I do.
Sports.
So a little bit more on football, or soccer, as our American friends would call it.
No, it's football. It's football.
I actually watched the final of the NFL. Not the NFL. The MLS Cup.
Are you sure it wasn't the NFT Cup?
No,
listeners, I can see his eye twitching.
Are you on the back? So MLS is Major League Soccer, for those of you who are not familiar, which is the American League, and the final was between Los Angeles Football Club and Philadelphia Union. It was honestly one of the most dramatic matches I have ever seen. But that I'm not here to talk about that. I'm more looking for the entire match at the massive rainbow flag and the trans pride flag that was being flown the entire match, of being swung about behind the goal.
Nice. Okay, I haven't seen this. I need to see this.
The whole stand behind the Los Angeles, well, the goal on the left hand side, was completely covered with flags. There were so many flags that was actually annoying for me to watch. Like, if I'm at the stadium, I want to watch what is on the pitch. I don't want to see your fucking flag. Like, I don't care if it's a rainbow flag. I don't want it in front of me.
Okay, you need to find a video of this for me. Sure. I need to see this flag.
All right.
But, like, I'm sorry, no, I have to disagree with you. Like, here's my thing. As somebody who has, I'm on record saying repeatedly, football has a problem when it comes to these things and the way it is perceived. That's how you do it. That's how you start to turn the idea around. I'm okay with this. I'm absolutely okay with this. You need to find us a link so we can put that in the description. That needs to go up in the description.
There's plenty. It's the biggest match in American soccer. I can't say American football because that's another thing. So
I'm not even starting on that. I'm on record with my disdain with that. It's football. I'm sorry, it's football. No, okay, that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Okay, now, having looked at that, like, you made it out that that was, like, covering over fans' faces and things, like, because you, the way you describe this, I'm thinking, you know when you see it at some of the American games where it's just, like, the massive flag that covers basically the stand?
Yeah.
That's what I was envisioning.
No.
This is very, very American sports.
Yeah, it was someone waving a flag in front of you.
No, I'm okay with this. I am very okay with this. This is like, this is exactly what I expect from American sports. I'm good with that. I like that. You can't have that one. That one was a good one. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's nice. But I don't want to be sitting behind it.
I want to disagree with you, but I know I'd be annoyed as well.
Yeah, because I want to see the match if I paid money to go to the match.
But at the same time, this is a very American thing. Like, you watch Super Bowl, you watch NASCAR, you watch whatever, you will see, not that I make a habit of watching these things, but as you well know, but like, you will see this.
Oh yeah, 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 I agree. I think it is also a dedicated part of a stadium where they allow these flag waving, because from the match I see other bits of the stadium and there weren't as many flags. Oh, I don't know if there were any flags. Like, I think that was...
And I mean, it kind of makes sense because the majority of the time it's going to be a particular team flag.
Yeah.
You know?
But anyway.
I don't know. I'm not mad at it. I like it. But that's Sports Ball Corner. You've had your your moment. You've had your rant. Shall we... Should we continue with something that's very American?
Yeah. What is also very American?
Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Is that very American? Elon Musk is not even American.
Here's the thing. This is Elon Musk that joined Twitter. That bought Twitter, immediately fired the board.
Yes.
And turned around and went, free speech.
Yes.
And has then proceeded to prove that, no, it's not free speech, because this is a company.
Uh-huh.
This has limitations, and the company is there to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not free speech, as people mistake free speech to mean.
Mm-hmm.
This is corporate speech, and this is... This entire situation was a shit show, let's be honest.
Oh, obviously.
No. This situation was always going to be a shit show. I don't think any of us expected it to be this much of a shit show so quickly.
I don't know.
So quickly. I didn't say it wouldn't get there, just so quickly.
Yeah, kind of immediately on the day that, you know, the transaction went through, that the buyout went through, I immediately posted on Twitter, right? I don't know if I want to stay on this platform anymore.
Did you see that he walked into the office with the kitchen sink? Or at least I think he's walking into the office. Either way, he's carrying the kitchen sink as he's wandering through the offices.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I I get what your point is, but no.
Yeah. I mean, he makes everything, I don't know, very meta.
I thought you were going to say very meta, because there's another thing that's going down the pan. I don't know.
Is it very meta, though?
I don't think it is. I think it's trying to be. My thing is this, like, I'm genuinely in that position where I don't know what I want to do about this.
It's kind of It's kind of not very meaningful for me for saying this because I'm not very active on Twitter anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, most I do is kind of retweet other people's stuff, and I don't often post my own stuff on Twitter, but I will definitely not be posting any new things on Twitter on my page.
I've been on there a little bit. I've been watching what's going down. It's fascinating to me that people are leaving in the numbers that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have said they were going to do and people did it and sort of, oh, I'm going to protest, leave this, that, and the other. And now it's happened. Like, people are actually putting the money where their mouth is, which is unusual to see in social media. But it's that thing again. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just I've hit that thing where it's just like, we have migrated platforms so many times as a community.
Yeah, but
where do we go?
As a community, we never saw Twitter as, you know, the actual place where we belong. Unlike Tumblr, where we felt we were.
Well, very true. Very, very true.
Like, Twitter was always a reluctant move. Like, okay, I guess we'll do Twitter.
No, that's fair. That is fair. I don't know. I'm just... I think the way that it will go, based on what I'm seeing of, like, various contacts of mine, etc., is that people are heading back towards Mastodon, etc.
Yeah.
Because there was a big surge in that when Tumblr shut down.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's possibly the way that it's going to maneuver. But that comes with its own host of difficulties.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does come with its own host of difficulties. And it's... I don't know. It's an awkward one right now. And if you're out there right now looking at the situation going, what the hell do I do? I don't know what to tell you.
Well, don't know yet. Yeah, we absolutely don't know
yet.
Well, but saying that, I will say the number of people who are moving to Mastodon has prompted the BBC to write an article about Twitter users moving to Mastodon.
Yeah. But then the flip side of Mastodon is, do you trust the web host?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
And, you know, you've got to be careful. You've got to choose what you're putting out there very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think that's my worry. I think you're going to get people taking advantage of this. I do think there is a risk of people taking advantage of it.
Yeah, you need to... I don't know where to go with that.
I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's okay to bide your time and see.
Yeah.
But if you are going to jump, just please... Please do it safely. If you're gonna like jump platforms, like look into who's hosting the instance you're jumping onto, etc.
Yeah, you need to understand the social network to start with before you move into it. Because Mastodon is what it is, the censorship situation, if you like, is. The moderation situation is nowhere near as good as Twitter, and Twitter wasn't good.
Yeah. I mean, it's that plus also, at the end of the day, you are trusting anonymous sysadmins.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which, I mean, I guess you are with a corporation, but at least with a corporation, there's a central point you can go to, and when it go, you fucked up. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we... Move on to something happier.
How about we talk about the Doctor?
The Doctor? Which Doctor?
The Doctor, as I said.
Okay, but there's a slight problem with this. Much like the British government, we've had three Doctors in the space of 3 months.
Yes.
Because Jodie Whittaker has bowed out. And I will say, for as much... For as much problems as there were with Jodie Whittaker's run,
yeah,
which, let me be very clear, I think is a writing thing, not an actor thing.
I agree. I think she had been a very good Doctor, but she didn't have the right stories or the right scripts.
Exactly. And as nonsensical as a lot of her final episode was, because my god, it needed some trimming. There were definitely two B-plots that we could have done away with in there, if not three.
Okay.
I enjoyed that episode. There was a really nice homage, I guess.
Homage?
To Doctor Who as it is, Doctor Who of the past, what Jodie has brought to the table to some degree. There were things about it I definitely didn't like. Dan's walkout seemed a bit ungraceful.
Sure, yeah. But I think, in general, like Doctor Who as a series, I think they tend to do these big episodes quite well. It's the ones in between, they're like, that can be very hit and miss.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Have you seen any of Jodie's finales until now? And again, this is a writing thing, not a Doctor thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't class them as like big episodes, though.
Here's the thing. I kind of feel like... I have no evidence for this. This is just, as someone that was watching it, how it felt to me. I feel like there was definitely a lot more Russell T. Davies influence in there than probably. We have seen for a very long time.
Probably.
Albeit with Chibnall's writing style. And it was nice to sit down and watch it and it feel like big event television again.
Yeah.
Not necessarily good big event television, but it felt like big event television again. That said, Sacha Dhawal doing Rasputin will be one of my favourite scenes in Doctor Who history for a while. Because I don't know what it was about that scene, but something made it, and as out of character as it was, the Cyberman and the Dalek just looking at each other as if to go, what the fuck?
Yeah,
just encapsulated the audience perfectly in that moment.
There's got to be a bit of self-awareness when it comes to.
But it was that kind of thing that made me feel kind of the Russell T. Davies influence back again. Because that was very much like Russell T. Davies things, like Here Come the Drums in the last Martha episode, Dark, etc., you know?
Yeah.
But also... What?
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 What do you mean, what?
I know those teeth.
Huh?
David Tennant?
Yeah,
that's
not
what I
expected.
How do you feel about David Tennant coming back?
I mean, a lot of people love David Tennant, myself included. I'm like,
David's my doctor, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's between David and Peter Capaldi for my doctor.
Hmm.
And I know Peter Capaldi is a controversial take, but anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. David Tennant? I mean, he's not going to be there for long, obviously.
Rumour has it we've got him for 3 episodes.
Have we?
That's the rumour. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's the rumour.
Oh, yeah, we don't know that. I don't mind having him back for a little bit.
I'm in two minds. Don't get me wrong, I'm always here to see more David Tennant as the Doctor. However, I'm not as keen on him regenerating from Jodie versus them having given the Shutagawa and having him come in as a special type thing. Similar to like the Three Doctor storyline, you know?
Yeah, but we've done that already.
So, they've done it already when they did it again in New Who, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah. It's something different. Well,
I don't know. I just feel like... I've seen two mindsets on this, and I kind of agree with both simultaneously. I think there's a little bit of a disservice done to Shooty by having David Tennant be the one regenerate from Jodie.
Okay.
In the sense that,
yeah,
you know, there was this really nice chance to have this transition between the two and not have the sort of twattier side of the fan base turn around and go, ah, see, we told you it didn't work. They had to go back. And I feel like that kind of potentially creates more of an uphill battle for Shooty. On the flip side of that, I've also seen the argument made of the next episode that we get will be the 60th anniversary episode. That's a hell of a lot of pressure to put on someone's shoulders right as they're starting the role, when you have a Doctor that you don't know what the Doctor or who the Doctor is yet. Because the first episode after regeneration is always a confused episode. Because it's that thing of the Doctor, the audience is getting to know the Doctor, and the Doctor is getting to know themselves, sort of thing. And that's the entire point of a regeneration episode.
Mm-hmm.
I see both arguments. I honestly don't know which one I think I agree with more.
Well, we don't know until we see it, do we?
Well, no, exactly. What I don't want is, I don't want David Tennant coming back to overshadow Shutagawa.
No, I get that.
I kind of got the impression from that very short teaser that we got that we might be getting them side by side. Not as in physically necessarily, but both of them being in the episode. With David maybe being the body and Shooty being on the mental side of it. Because that could be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that trailer, so
fair enough. But I mean, shall we use that to segue off to the constant regeneration that is the British government?
Right, yes.
Because much like the Doctor, we've had how many in 3 months?
I have lost count.
Oh my god, for any of our American listeners that have been wondering, how does it feel in England right now? Like, knowing that, you know, the political turmoil is what it is, and it doesn't show any signs of calming down.
I mean,
I almost want to say this is our Trump moment, but it feels like it's even more off the wheels.
Well, I don't know, because at least we got rid of the very bad one very quickly.
I'm sorry, we did not get rid of Boris Johnson very quickly. No, here's the thing. You say we got rid of the very bad one very quickly, and I'm sat here going, which one are you referring to?
Yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. But still, you know, one of them is objectively worse than the other two.
Maybe this is my bias showing, but I'm really not sure they are. It just, I don't know. It's, I'm kind of at that point where I'm just sat here waiting to see who's getting their next turn. Because they've got to run out of people eventually. Right?
Yeah.
They've only got 200 odd of them, and they've gone through about half of that already.
I don't know. Like, that week was depressing. At the same time, it was funny just to actually see the poll numbers coming in.
I haven't looked at what the polls are at now. And I'm not going to get into a big political debate, etc. But I know that at one point, Labour had a 33-point lead.
Oh, one of the polls was suggesting more than that.
Which for our American friends, that's, you know, this isn't like the American Senate, etc., where we have numbers on numbers on numbers for every single district and every single region and everything else. Like, that's a national number. That basically means you if you'd have held that election at that moment, the Tories would not just sort of place second, as it were, but I think the second largest group within Parliament, if you'd have held the election in that moment, would have become the SNP. Like the Scottish Scottish National Party would have been ousting the Tories as Her Majesty's opposition.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think we've ever been in a position living memory where that's been a credible thing that could happen.
So what do you say the number was?
33 points I had it at.
No, so on that week, the polls were coming in like a bit all over the place, but there were 36, 31, 35, 39 was the highest one.
Wow.
And 27 and 37 they came in at. At the one which Labour had a 39-point lead, the Conservatives were polling at 14%, which, according to some projection, would translate to actually zero seats.
Oh, I didn't know that one. Wow, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. Okay. Good grief.
So, yeah, that's what I said was, it's quite funny watching those numbers.
I mean, the other thing, I mean, we need to acknowledge it, and sort of this is going to be my segue, I think. Like, let's also bear in mind that for about half of the term that Liz Truss was Prime Minister, politics was shut down in this country because the Queen passed.
Exactly.
Like, God bless her and may she rest in peace, but my word, like, that was a very, that's a very strange time to have lived through.
Yeah, it was, and yeah, people will be seeing Liz Truss's reading at the Queen's funeral for forever.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
It's weird, isn't it?
Oh, that's going to be so bizarre, because when you look back at the history books and you look back at, like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah, my mind's just blown. That might be the weirdest thing to have thrown me, and that includes being in a kink bar when a 2-minute silence was held.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was a thing.
That we did that as well, yeah.
So for context, we went to an AA event on the weekend, and it was announced, what was it, the day before, that there was going to be a national 2-minute silence. And so the organisers called all the music off in the club and observed the 2-minute silence.
Yep.
Which is possibly one of the most bizarre things I've ever been involved with in the kink community, because it was just like, you're simultaneously, like, you're paying your respects, but you're also very aware of where you are.
Yeah. I mean, there was also, you know, the sauna in London during Queen's funeral.
Chariot. Was it Chariots? No, it wasn't Chariots. It was
Pleasure Dome.
I mean, do you want to tell this story?
Yeah, so on the day of the Queen's funeral, most of the businesses shut. Like, I think 99% of businesses were shut. Pleasure Dome decided to stay open.
Just to go back to that, even like the 24-hour supermarkets and everything shut down fully.
Yeah. Yeah. The Pleasure Dome decided to stay open and broadcast.
I can't hear this and not laugh.
Yeah, they decided to not play any music and show the Queen's funeral in silence.
With subtitles.
But you can still go in, and that's still a working sauna in there. and you can still fuck your way through the Queen's funeral.
Don't say it like that.
Okay.
You're absolutely right, but my God. It's... Look. There's several things that come to mind with this, okay? One is, how freaking bizarre is it? Because... So I've never been to Pleasure Dome. But if it's anything like other ones that I've had, if they run about putting it on in the TV screens and on, in the porn rooms, etc.
Yeah.
And some of these rooms tend to have like glory holes, etc. in them, which is just a...
Yeah.
That's like, it's one of those things about how disrespectful, irreverent, however you want to face it, can you be? Because like, there's that. There's also the whole, like... There's so many levels of wrong to this that I can't even begin to wrap... Like, genuinely, I'm speechless. But at the same time... There is that little part of my brain that sits there and goes, whoever made that decision... And whoever put that on social media.
Yeah.
Is a really messed up genius.
Yeah.
On the basis that.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a single country in the world that that story did not spread like wildfire on Twitter. I don't think there was a single queer community in the world that doesn't know that story to some degree now.
I think you're probably
right. You can't buy marketing like that. But my God. And it's one of the, like, I want to sit here and there's that part of my brain that wants to sit here and make jokes, but it just feels disrespectful too. Because the concept of it is disrespectful to me. But at the same time, it's really screwed up marketing genius.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
This is what happens. We go off air and we go through three prime ministers and we end up with two monarchs and we go through like three different doctors. Didn't the last time we went off air for a while, Prince Philip died as well?
No, we were on air for that.
Were we on air for that?
Yeah, we were on air for that. We talked about it like... probably a few days after he died.
I know someone passed away the last time he went off air. So shall we go from one terrible piece of marketing to another?
Okay, go on.
The Mario movie?
The Mario movie. Yes, there's a trailer. Yeah,
there is finally a trailer. And here's... Okay, let me start by putting my hands up and saying I was wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Because when they announced the cast, I looked at the cast and went, what the fuck is this movie?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've got Jack Black as Bowser? You've got Chris Pratt as Mario? Wait, no, hang on a minute. I was right about that one. Coming around to that. But, like, it looks really good visually.
Yeah, yeah.
Visually.
True. Yeah.
Jack Black as Bowser, I was very unconvinced. Actually, I can see it.
Yeah.
I like what they've done with Toad. It makes that balance between him being screechy and fucking annoying and him being a character. Fine. Kamek, I'm not thrilled, but I can live with it. Yeah. And then you have Chris Pratt playing Chris Pratt. I mean Mario.
Yeah, that was very yeah, that was very Chris Pratty, yeah. Like,
I'm sorry, what the fuck are they doing? You have Mario's voice actor.
True.
You have reduced Mario's voice actor to cameos. What the fuck are you doing? And what I don't understand is how this hasn't caused uproar. I do not understand how we haven't seen sonic levels of uproar over this.
I don't know. Because I guess, like, okay, you look at the trailer, like, visually, yeah, that looks fine. That looks like that looks exactly like what we expect of Mario.
Yeah.
Unlike Sonic, which, like, everyone thinks of, like, what is this?
That's fair. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Sonic is anything, like, groundbreaking. I will say, I've not seen the second one, I will say the first one is a very pleasant watch. But, I mean, I don't know, I was expecting Chris Pratt to have, you know, well, Chris Pratt's voice with a slight, very stereotypical problematic Italian accent to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And we just got...
plain Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. You have to... yeah, you do want people like to change their voices a little bit when they're playing different characters. Because, you know, say Tom Holland in Spider-Man and Tom Holland in Cherry are very different.
I don't know. I want to be wrong about this movie. Want to be wrong about this movie, but I think it's going to be... it's visually impressive. The story's going to be mediocre. Chris Pratt's going to be Chris Pratt.
Yep, probably.
And it really disappoints me, considering how much of a stickler Nintendo tend to be around quality. Although I guess...
are they when they come to movies?
Well, no, I was about to say, although I guess this kind of does follow the typical Nintendo thing of everything is there but this one thing. That's a very Nintendo thing in their games. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just unfortunately that one thing this time is, well, Mario.
Your main actor, yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of Nintendo.
Indeed.
Well, we've got a new Pokemon game coming out in... well, a couple of new Pokemon games coming out in a few days.
Okay, let's be honest. It's a Pokemon game.
Yes.
And it's starting to get very egregious, this whole splitting it across two things. Especially since they just released Arceus. Well, I say just, but you know what I mean. Where it's all in one title.
True.
Have you followed anything to do with them? Because I haven't.
Well, all I was going to say is, you know, that Scarlet legendary Pokemon looks quite dopey.
It seems to be the thing, though. It does seem to be the thing with Pokemon games where it's just like big, bad, like, awesome legendary Pokemon. Wee dopey little thing. Big bang. Awesome legendary Pokemon. Wee dumpy little thing. Yeah. We had Bambi as a fucking legendary, for Christ's sake.
Oh, well, yeah. That's true. Yeah. A lot of people have picked up on the two legendary Pokemons have wheels on them, but they don't use the wheels to kind of roll around.
I mean, are we surprised there is a Pokemon that is a set of keys? What the fuck does that open?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's average for Pokemon.
Pretty much. Like, I love Pokemon. You know I love Pokemon. And I feel like I say this every new generation. So, you know, maybe I should shut the fuck up. But have we not got enough yet? There's nearly, what, 4,000 of the fuckers now?
No, there aren't 4,000, but yeah.
How many Pokemon actually are there now?
I feel like it's still within 1,000. I haven't looked it up, but my gut feeling is...
I'm looking it up right now.
Under 1,000.
And... I'll tell you this.
Mm.
You are right. For about another month.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Probably, yeah.
There are currently, without counting the latest incarnation, because we don't know how many are in it, 905 official Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think.
At what point do we look at it and go, guys, the intention was to have maybe 300 tops.
Mm.
At what point do we look at it and go, we've got too many?
Yeah, that point passed. That point has passed.
I don't know, man. Pokemon's one of those that's just like, I'm noticing this a lot with like childhood favorite series where it was really good at the time and it's just got driven to the death of it because of how much of it there is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Talking about driven to the death.
Google Stadia?
Yeah.
We saw that one coming.
Well, yeah. Saw that one coming a long time ago.
And listeners, if you haven't caught on by now, it's just like, there is no planned direction for this. We're just making the most tenuous links between the topics we can. But yeah, Google Stadia has died a death. Or is dying a death? Is it officially dead yet?
I think it's dead in January.
In January, okay.
I think.
We've been talking about a lot of dead things this episode.
Oh, well.
Death of the Doctor, death of the Queen.
Death of Twitter.
But no, Google Stadia is on its way out. But look, the idea of cloud gaming is fantastic as an idea. The idea of cloud gaming as a supportable platform in and of itself, the technology isn't there yet. We are rapidly approaching it, but we are not there yet. And you only have to look back at the fact that Microsoft is struggling to make this work. Microsoft has Game Pass. However, the thing with Game Pass is you will have input lag. Game Pass streaming is great when you are traveling or whatever, but you wouldn't want to play something like Halo or Call of Duty on it where you need rapid precision. And you need rapid movements because you can't guarantee that latency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand why they think it was going to work.
Like, for some people, the latency between controller inputs and over Bluetooth to their console is too much.
Exactly. And then you were talking for Stadia. Bluetooth lag to the device that's hosting it, hosting lag to the internet, and then return lag of, well, basically, every single bottleneck imaginable was in that system from the off.
Yeah.
No, it was never going to work. I'm sorry. Like, we have had companies try and do this over the years for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And it works for certain games. It doesn't work as a platform on itself. As an enhancement to a platform, which is what Microsoft treats it as.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's some games you can do with it.
Exactly. Some games would do it easily.
But Stadia was pushing, like, Destiny as their big shooter.
I know.
Or Assassin's Creed was being pushed on there, a game that requires precision so you don't get caught. Like, Cyberpunk was on there? Like, the games they were pushing for this just weren't suitable to the technology.
I think Assassin's Creed wouldn't be too bad. At least the way I play it.
Okay, maybe Assassin's Creed isn't my best example out of that lot, but my point.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But for me, those slower paced games tends to be the games that I play.
And that's fair enough. And it's, but this is what I was saying, like, for Microsoft, they use it as an additional. You mentioned in the last show you were playing Two Point Campus that way.
Yeah,
that's a game it makes sense for.
Mm-hmm.
Not Destiny. Yeah. Not a shooter. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
But it's just another one added to the Google graveyard.
Yeah. I mean, at least they have offered, like, refunds to people, I guess.
Well, yeah, because they were making lifetime guarantees on it, weren't they?
Yeah. Right.
Yours to own. Because one of the big criticisms of Stadia was that you bought the game at full price.
Yep.
And you only got a digital license for it. You didn't get a local copy.
Mm-hmm.
And Google were turning around and going, yeah, but it's fine because if you've bought it, you'll always have access to it. Well, you're not going to if they've shut down the service.
No.
So I really don't see how. I don't see how they could have not, to be honest.
I feel like they have done that with like other things that they have sold.
Yeah. Someone who's been burnt by that more than once. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but your Stadia controller might still work.
From what I heard, it wasn't a good controller. From what I heard, it wasn't a good controller. Maybe it was. Maybe I'm talking out my arse, but I seem to recall reading in multiple places that it was okay if it was all that you had.
Yeah.
But if you had something like an Xbox controller, just hook that in instead.
Well, if controller's not your thing, then maybe you want a keyboard instead.
Oh, I'm really mad that you baited me with that. Oh, I'm really mad you baited me with that.
Why?
Mainly because I didn't think of it. But no, so this is referring to a keyboard that I have found that I just wanted to bring up because I love the concept of it. And it's just like, there's no way I can bring this up in the show at any reasonable point. So I'm bringing it up here. There is now a Lego keyboard. And I don't mean a Lego set that looks like a keyboard. I mean, this is a working mechanical keyboard that has Lego keycaps. So you can build your own, like, keycaps for it. This is amazing.
It screams, like, not very practical to me.
Oh, whereas for me, it screams, like, customize me, daddy. I want one of these things, like... It's like, okay, so let's go back a little bit on a journey with this. I love a mechanical keyboard, much to your chagrin.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever caught any whiff of me typing on here knows that I have a mechanical keyboard because it's loud.
It's so loud.
However, one great thing with mechanical keyboards is you can customize the keycaps, but that's not something that I've delved that far into yet. Because I always want some customizations that aren't there. I like the idea of having, like, a Halo helmet on, like, my escape key or something like that, you know? But printing these things off and everything else, it costs a fair whack of money.
Okay.
All of the keycaps on this particular keyboard have got Lego stud connections. So you can literally build up, like, a little thing to put a minifigure head on. So you have a minifigure head for your button.
Yeah.
And you can customize the shape of the individual keys so it fits your fingers so that you've got really nice WASDs, etc. I know you're not convinced. I just really like it. And I think anyone who was like Lego is their thing and they're into like computing that's hearing this is gonna, that hasn't heard about it already is like, "Oh, what?" And I'm going to plug it. I'm going to plug it. This one free. It's been made by a company called Melgeek. M-E-L Geek. It's awesome. I love it.
Fine.
If you've not seen it, go look at it. It's really cool. It's on Kickstarter at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any kickback for mentioning this, just so we're being clear. Absolutely not involved with this in any way. I wish I was, because my God, it's brilliant and genius. But anyway. I think that leaves us at the point where all we have left is the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, because I know some of our listeners skip through our Marvel studio stuff, is we're going to jump in here and just do a little bit of a quick PSA, I think, and just say, hey, like, our schedule's going to be a little bit weird for the immediate future. Like, we are aiming to get back to an episode every couple of weeks because I am still in the process of moving house and everything else.
Yeah.
it will be a case of we will aim for that, but we may not always make it. We're aiming to go no longer than 3 weeks where we can.
Mm-hmm.
We will keep our social media updated. Yeah. Which, you know, lnk.at/tbnjpodcast. Because yep. I don't know if we're going to be on Twitter.
No, exactly.
You know, we'll see what's happening with the Twitter situation, but we will update that link with wherever we are at.
Yeah, or, you know, just subscribe to us on your favorite app, then, you know, you'll have us updated anyway.
Exactly. But yeah, that's the situation with us right now, just so everyone is aware. If you aren't here for the Marvel stuff, thank you very much for joining us so far.
No.
But Chris, play the intro because this is going to be longer than 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
So, where are we starting? Because, my God, there has been a lot.
There has been a lot. We've got a whole bunch of trailers, I guess. We've got trailers, we've got announcements.
Should we start with what's closest upon us, which is Black Panther?
Yeah.
Or more to the point, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Black Which Panther I think Panther is the Forever. Official full title. I don't think it's got Black Panther 2, does it?
No.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. Intrigued. Like, I was always going to be intrigued.
Exactly. I'm more than intrigued.
I had hesitations.
Okay.
Because it was that thing of how do Chadwick you... Boseman? Exactly. Yeah. How do you recover?
Hmm.
I've had it spoilt for me, so I'm going to be very careful what I say.
Okay. Don't know. Trailer looks great. Trailers always look great, but you know, this one does seem like it's, you know, going to be pretty good.
Fair enough. I like the basic premise that we're seeing in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see Namor in live action.
Sure.
Holy hell, he is hot. Oh, yes. All the yes. I am wondering, is this going to be self-contained and fully resolve itself out, or are we going to end up with a bit of a cliffhanger?
Well,
because the entire thing with Atlantis always keeps coming back up in the MCU. In the comics.
The what, sorry?
The entire thing with Atlantis keeps coming up in the comics, mm-hmm. repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So is Namor going to be something that... Not one and done... But, like, the bulk of it is handled in one movie, or is this going to be something that keeps sending shockwaves?
I think we're going to come back to it. Namor is, again, I think it's too important to just, you know, and Atlantis is going to be done. For like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be more of an ongoing thing. They're probably going to not come back for a bit. I think they will, though.
I have a harebrained theory.
Hmm.
I think what we might see is initial resolution to it.
Yeah.
It get mentioned, as in Atlantis, get mentioned quite a few times over a few movies.
Yeah.
And then we will see Namor come back in full in probably the second of the next two Avengers movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as a savior sort of scenario, but as a sort of, this is a threat that needs even the enemies to be on your side.
Yeah.
Because Thanos was, we need all the heroes on one side. Because Namor has always been a little adversarial in the comics, even where he's on the same side.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It would make sense for them to draw that into the MCU.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Recent MCU media has been more like comic accurate than it used to.
Yep. Which is why I'm really curious to see how they do Ironheart.
Mm.
Really curious to see how they do Ironheart, and glad that that's getting a series.
Yeah. I don't know how they choose how all these like young superheroes get a series and who don't. And
I think it comes down to familiarity. I think on one hand it comes down to familiarity, and then on the other hand it comes down to popularity. The White Vision series, I think we're getting off the back of the popularity of WandaVision, etc.
Sure, yes.
Falcon Winter Soldier, I think, was very much... there was a familiarity thing needed with the new Captain America in terms of, like, where is this person's backstory, etc. Because we haven't had a solo outing for them.
No. Sure. Okay.
We've seen the same sort of thing with Kate Bishop. We've seen the same sort of thing with She-Hulk in terms of, like, there's more familiarity needed before they come into the movies. Because you don't want to be slowing the movie down by introducing the character from scratch.
No. That's not what I meant. Like, why does Ironheart get her own series and not, say, America? Or
I'm not convinced America Chavez won't get her own series.
Well, that's true, yeah.
But also, I think if you're going to do Young Avengers, which we have unannounced projects in there, and they've spent a reasonable amount of time nodding at these characters at this point, a good way to do that particular movie could be to center a story on America and do her story that way. As one of your... Not as in, like, the overarching plot that movie, but the through line of that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it also depends how long the series we're going to get with the Young Avengers.
Well, of course. But, I mean, the other thing is, like, if you do a through line of America and Wickling with your main plot over the top, that's a pretty comprehensive set of moving parts to use.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's roll with that. And like, if we're going to talk Wickling, let's talk Wiccan.
Yeah.
Which means that we need to talk Coven of Chaos.
Yeah.
Which I have views on this.
I don't mind the casting.
I don't like it. Explain it for the audience.
So we have got Joe Locke cast as an unannounced role in Agatha's Coven of Chaos series. For those who are unaware, Joe Locke is the actor who played Charlie at Heartstopper, the Netflix series. And he has long been fan casted as Wiccan for such a long time.
Here's the thing. One, let's just roll back a moment and go, holy fuck, yes, please, more Catherine Hahn. All the Catherine Hahn. Yes, please. I will spend hours just watching that woman do what she does because, my God, she is amazing and I think I may have a slight crush. Two, let me be clear. I have absolutely nothing against the actor and I don't actually think it's a bad cast if that's what it is cast as. Because this is the thing. It's only been announced that he's in there. It's not actually been announced what his character is.
We know that, yeah.
I don't think it's a bad cast. I think it's quite an interesting one and every piece of like photo, media, etc. around this rumour that I've seen, yeah, I can absolutely see that casting. It's just not the casting I would have chosen, because the casting I would have chosen would have been Aidan Gallagher, who plays number 5 in the Umbrella Academy. Because, honestly, mostly based off the Umbrella Academy, I think Aidan has a really nice range to be able to play both the serious and the lighthearted parts of that particular role. And that's just one of those things where it's just like, it's that thing of like when you hear a casting and you go either, yes, that makes sense, or yeah, I see it, but this was my particular favorite casting, you know? And it's just purely that for me.
Yeah.
I wish him all the best of luck. Don't get me wrong. He's just not who I would have chosen.
No, no, that's fine. Like, a lot of people who have seen Heartstopper and are familiar with the Young Avengers have basically said, you know, the two main characters, Nick and Charlie, are basically like Teddy and Billy, but British and without superpowers.
Okay, that's... I mean, I haven't seen Heartstopper. I know I'm a bad gay. Just leave me alone. I'm a bi queer, okay? Well, I don't know. I just... Here's the other thing. Like, I don't know who I would cast as Hulkling. So it's... I don't know. I hope it's... If that is the casting, I hope that it's done well. And it's that thing of... I just can't quite see it just yet. But I'll also say, I said the exact same thing about Tom Holland as Peter Parker. And now I find it strange to see anyone else in that role.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have the good track record of being able to envision this yet.
I don't know. It would be weird if they just literally lifted the two main characters in Heartstopper and put them as, you know, Hulkling and Wiccan.
Yeah,
but it would. Also, I think it would be weird. I think it would be too weird.
I don't disagree it'd be weird, but it also just kind of makes a weird kind of sense in my head.
It would make a lot of sense. And Kit Connor, I think, would make a very good Teddy. But
I mean, it'd reduce a lot of the legwork as far as Marvel were concerned, which is not a good thing. Let me be clear. But yeah, I don't know. It's all a load of madness. All a load of madness. You could say there is a multiverse of it. And within that multiverse, we need to talk about Quantumania.
Yeah. Well, that's the next trailer that came out when we were not on air.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad that my two takeaways from that was, holy shit, I need that version of Yellow Brick Road? And holy shit, we're getting Blue Kang.
Yeah.
Jonathan Masters as Kang is brilliant, but I didn't think we were going to see the classic comic book Blue Kang with the purple suit.
That quickly.
At all. I didn't think we were going to see it at all.
Really?
Yeah. Purely from the standpoint of a visual effects thing. Because that's either a lot of makeup or it's a lot of VFX that they need to do. And I know they've done like Yondu, etc. I just didn't think we were going to see them do Blue Kang.
But I thought they were always going to do it with, you know, an Avengers movie literally named after him.
You see, I see where you're going with this. And my thing with that is I was thinking they were going to go more towards... I don't know what the... official title is for this particular variation, but the variation of Kang that has like the full future tech armor that Iron Lad steals a version of.
Okay.
I thought we were going to see that version, which technically is the same version.
Yeah. I think we're probably going to see all the versions.
I think we're going to see a lot of variation, and I think one thing that I haven't seen many... I've seen one or two pick up on it, but not many trailer breakdown pick up on it, is I think we're going to see a number of versions of Ant-Man and that team. I don't know what we want to call that team. The Team Insect or whatever. I think we're going to see a lot of versions of that, because if you look at the trailers, there's things like the giant Ant-Man helmet, etc., falling down against small Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to see... I think we're going to see a quantum realm multiversal crash, basically. And I think that will be what sets the wheels in motion to start the Avengers.
Yeah. That's the thing about Ant-Man movies. They always, like, all three of them seems like they were going to be basically setups.
But I think there's something that lends it to it, though.
Yeah, that's the thing about MCU, that every movie is a setup for something else.
Well, exactly, isn't it? And I mean, I'm not sure I would actually agree with you that Ant-Man was the setup. The first one didn't really set that much going that wasn't already in motion.
No, true.
The second one, there's the van scene at the end, which became integral to...
Endgame,
thank you. I nearly said what they call it. Infinity War. But it didn't really set up anything we didn't really know, apart from where is Scott Lang right now.
True.
We already knew that Endgame was coming by that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know. I feel like it's almost they're giving it the chance to be something to start, as opposed to riding the coattails.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, it remains to be seen. This could just be... Well, I was going to say this could be the equivalent of Loki in Avengers, but actually... No, I think this is going to be more of a kickoff than anything we've had so far. Because I don't think we've seen a full origin of sorts for an enemy yet. The closest we got is Ultron, but that was all contained in one movie.
Yeah,
Thanos was always a background threat.
Uh-huh.
Ultron was a single movie threat, but all the work had gone into getting all the characters in place for that. I think Kang, we may actually see the evolution of that character a lot more in depth over the course of a few movies.
Well, that would be quite good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And then we go from the really tiny things that... Okay, I'm going to draw a delineation here that, like, I think everything we've talked about up until this point is kind of main MCU.
Yes.
And then we're going to take a bit of a wild side tangent.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with Kevin Bacon or do we want to start with Hugh Jackman? Because both of them are absurd.
Yeah, let's start with Kevin Bacon and leave Hugh Jackman to last.
You've just echoed the sentiments of many a housewife.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I wasn't expecting Kevin Bacon to pop up in the Guardians of the Galaxy special.
No, but that's just hilarious.
Here's the annoying thing. It makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those where you look at it and it makes absolute sense.
Like, I wonder if when James Gunn first wrote that line, like, Was he expecting that would happen? Like, where was he going with Kevin Bacon?
I don't know. I really don't know. But it's very weird to me, though, because it's just like, I don't know anything that Kevin Bacon's been in recently.
I know.
And you know where I'm going to go with this. There's only one thing I can recall him being in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mobile phone advert for a network over here in England. And that's pretty much the, apart from like a little bit of his classic movies like Footloose sort of thing, I don't really have a point of reference on the guy. And so I'm kind of sat there like, I have no idea what to expect. Am I expecting serious acting in the vein of Footloose, etc., or am I expecting weird slapstick talk to camera but not talk to camera but being very just fucking odd and ego, I guess, which is what we get in the... Because it's James Gunn, it could feasibly be either.
True, yeah.
It's weird. I need to watch that trailer again. I need to see some more of it, and I think this might be one we revisit on a future 5 minute, because...
Well, yeah, definitely.
It's just... I don't know what to make of it.
Oh, it's coming out soon, isn't it?
What is the actual release date on that? Because I know it's Christmas. I don't know, is it like a run-up thing, or are they releasing it like Christmas Day type thing?
I don't think it's going to be on the day.
I mean, Disney are going to have to get used to doing Christmas Day releases, etc., since they're publishing Doctor Who now. Is Doctor Who part of the MCU now?
No.
Because it's part of Disney now.
They're not part of Disney, they're just releasing it also on Disney Plus.
No, no. Disney are involved with some of the visual effects and stuff.
Yeah, still not owned by Disney.
No, it was not owned by Disney, but they're involved enough at this point. And to be fair, it would be one hell of a crossover. Can you imagine, like, getting... I know technically he's dead now, but can you imagine, like, Tony Stark, or even, like, Shuri talking with the Doctor?
I don't know. I know everybody loves, like, crossovers between things, and, like, I don't know.
You're not a fan of crossovers anyway, though.
No, it's messy as fuck.
That's kind of the point. Holy shit. Sorry. Do you know when the Guardians of the Galaxy special releases?
No.
November 25th.
Okay.
How the fuck has that snuck up on us? Okay. Sure. As long as I get a new awesome mix from it.
You get what?
As long as I get a new awesome mix from it. Oh my god, so I've got the trailer playing on mute and I didn't realise all of the, well, most of the Christmas decoration stuff, I think is a nod to previous roles he's done. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. From one comeback to another, though, like, let's switch across. No, one thing I need to say first is, like, Muscle Groot? Is Muscle. Groot a himbo now?
Yeah.
I need... Okay, no, seriously. I need someone to do that as artwork. I need Groot as a himbo. That's a thing. I'm going to put that out on socials in a minute. I need Groot as a himbo. And it... Okay, but no, seriously, moving from one comeback to another, because, like, let's wrap this up, because we are running on and on for supposed to be a catch-up episode bonus. Hugh Jackman is coming into the MCU as Wolverine.
Yeah. And
we think,
again,
massive question mark at the end of that.
And, you know, that is also what I think. I'm like, this is going to be really messy if he is Wolverine. If he's the same Wolverine, especially.
That's the thing, isn't it? This is Deadpool, which means it could be anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It could well and truly be anything. So... could this be how Deadpool ends up in the MCU main timeline? Is this a sidestep of the main timeline that's still set in X-Men universe? Where does this sit? Either way, Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Like, Hugh Jackman is a great Wolverine. And I don't know who... else I can picture it as Wolverine.
I do.
Right.
Taron Egerton.
Okay.
I've seen, like, artist mock-ups of it, and yeah, Taron Egerton. It absolutely would work.
At the same time, like, the Deadpool movie, I think they're going to jump between.
They've got to, surely.
Yeah, they are going to jump between, surely.
I'm just kind of excited for Ryan Reynolds in the main MCU. Because I want him to be in the main MCU and then pop up in the middle of an Avengers movie. Like, not even as, like, an Avenger. Just a random shot where he's in the background of a crowd just waving to camera. One of those blink and you'll miss it things where it's crowded enough that you wouldn't see it unless you're looking for it. But if you see it, like, there is that still that fourth wall break there, just as a bit of a sight gag. I could absolutely see a way for them to do that and it just be a little Easter egg.
Okay.
That and just the general chaos that Deadpool brings into the MCU.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who would have thought that that would have been one of the best roles that Ryan got cast into?
Well, yeah, that. Yeah.
Especially considering where Deadpool started in terms of cinematic. But anyway, I think that's everything.
I think that's everything, so, and
we are massively over time.
Yeah, this is going to be really long, and yeah, we're out of things to talk about now.
Indeed. For now, we apologise that this hasn't been the usual structure. I don't know if this is going up as a full episode or a catch-up with it being at this length.
I don't know.
But either way, we apologise this hasn't been the usual capture, and the structure has just been us capturing a lot of thoughts about a lot of random nerdy things that happened while we were off, and pop culture, etc.
Can we just call it the T Show?
The T Show. Yeah, we can call it the T Show.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, we have been the T... No, we have been Teabags and Joysticks. We are normally the Kinky Video Game Podcast. We have spoken about some video games, just not so much the kink.
We have spoken something about a kink. We mentioned the sauna. Okay.
We will be back as soon as we can. I'm not going to say when exactly, but as soon as we can. Hopefully in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening. Once again, thank you for coming back. We are happy to be back.
Yeah, and thanks for listening to this rambles of chaos.
Indeed. That's our entry. That's what we're going to submit to Kevin Feige. Teabags and Joysticks, Rambles of Chaos. That's our movie title. But for now, I have been Si.
Been Chris.
If you wish to find out where we are, which social media platform we've ended up on, etc., you can find us at
lnk.at/tbnjpodcast.
Indeed. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.
Right.
Bye.
This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Quartz Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.